Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody wants out, get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs. Okay? This team's going to the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? Are you kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
We should understand, man, that's a damn coaching mistake. Right? The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
You don't have to say any more than that, Brent.
No, you certainly don't, Jack. Very honest assessment. I saw
I'm
you.
I'm a man. I'm sorry. I'm not a kid.
One of his
assistants. Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me? That's all I got to say. It makes me want to puke.
Welcome, Earthlings. You have stumbled across The Balance, the only internet radio program that gives you a full balance of all sports. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at TBalance. You can also find us on Facebook under The Balance. And make sure you send us your comments to TBalance@ymail.com. Right now, here's your host, Tom and Kevin. And welcome to another episode of The Balance. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is the partner in crime, that redneck from Philly. Kevin, how are you?
I got my game on.
I'm doing good, Tom. It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. We've had a couple weeks off. I appreciate everybody's patience with us as we grow and we expand all over the nation. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at TBalance. Also send us a email at TBalance@ymail.com. Well, we're not the only one that's got our game on. The NFL has their game on, and they had the first game on NBC last night. Kevin, did you check out the Bengals and the Cowboys? T.O. and Ocho.
You know, I did not check out T.O. and Ocho. That is one show that I actually have absolutely no desire to see. I think that's a fireworks show that'll happen before the season is over between the two of them.
Oh, sure. I mean, you've got Owens, Bengals proved to be it's a very early relationship, and it's you know, like I said, the T.O. Ocho show will prove itself out to be have many highlights throughout the season. But going on to over there in Camp Anderson, in Anderson, Indiana, our boys in blue, the Indianapolis Colts, that's right, they're all about business. There is no honeymoon period for them this year. They're all about it, and to be quite frank, I don't think Peyton Manning would let it happen. What do you think there, Kevin?
Yeah, I don't think he will either. Peyton is, I think, looking for some payback for last year. He was blamed from a lot of people for the loss that they had. Personally, I don't think it was Peyton Manning that lost the game, but a lot of the good people around here, local people, did put a lot of blame on his shoulders, and I think he's going to be out for vengeance this year to kind of make up for that.
Sure. And, you know, here's the thing about Peyton. He's got big shoulders, and he's got a rocking arm, and so I think we've got a lot of years left of the Colts. And, you know, this is an exciting time of the year to watch the Colts prepare. And this is a new training facility for them this year out there in Anderson. It's a really very, very nice fan-friendly environment, and it's very easy to go to there at Anderson University there. So, you know, if you haven't got a chance to check them out, they'll be out there until the 18th. And, you know, so the Colts have got some exciting football coming up. They've got some people that I still think that they need to get signed yet, but we'll kind of see how that plays out throughout the season there. And so we know you're dying to talk about your Philadelphia Phillies. So, all right, Mr. Redneck from Philly, how's the Eagles going to land on their feet this year?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't think we're going to be a contender for the East at the end. I'm hoping we're a contender for the wild card. But Kevin Cobb got some a year or two to grow. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I think he'll get us there, but I don't think he'll get us this year. If we get there, it's going to be because of our – it'll be because of our defense. Yeah, and we have some great receiving corps. Go ahead.
Right, absolutely. Well, and then, you know, it's going to be an exciting season throughout, not only in the NFC, but the AFC. And, you know, we've got some teams that really show a lot of promise. And, you know, I wouldn't totally outrule the Chicago Bears this year either and what they're able to put together in the process there.
No, and there's a lot of teams this year. I look forward to the football season. It is going to be good. There's some teams, you know, Jets are looking like they might have some stamina this year, might do some things. And, of course, you always have the Saints. You know, you have your Colts, you have your New England Patriots. You have your teams that have been there consistent and will probably be there again. And then you have some of the other teams, you know, that Redskins have rebuilt, getting Don McNabb. You know, they got Haynesworth. He's now practicing. As a matter of fact, today he practiced with the second team, but it was his first full practice, so that was a smart move by the Redskins. So, you know, Green Bay's looking good.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of Green Bay, and I'm going to use this opportunity, although we know that Brett Favre doesn't play for Green Bay anymore, but use this opportunity to talk a little bit about the Brett Favre drama. Is he coming back or is he staying gone? Here's my thing. I think he's waiting on an ESPN special. What do you think?
Yeah, he wants to do an hour special like LeBron. I don't know. I don't think he'll be back. He supposedly has said he's retiring, but yet Brad Childress has said that was a rumor. So I haven't officially seen him on any show, ESPN, or any soundbite with his voice saying he's retiring. Yeah, he's going to do just like he did the last 2 to 3 years. And, I know he's a great quarterback, but I look at it from some of the other players' sides. And, you know, if I was another player on the team, that would bother me, no matter how good you are. There's some other Pro Bowlers on the Vikings. So, you know, what would happen if every single one of the Pro Bowlers decided that they were going to set out all the training camp? Yeah, it's a team, and you have to develop everybody. And you can't develop everybody if you've got players sitting out because they're too good.
No, you're absolutely right. And here's the thing about the Brett Favre drama. I'm ready to say either be gone or stay, but let's just make something happen. Brett Favre is certainly going to go down in history as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and I think that his day is over. I don't think that we'll see him back with the Vikings. I don't think we'll see him back with any team, actually. That's just my gut feeling. I just think that it's just getting harder and harder for him to get up in the morning, and I just think probably not this year, but next year we'll probably see him up there in the broadcast booth right alongside Tony Dungy or something like that. But we'll see. And, you know, and we'd certainly like to hear your comments. Email us at tbalance@ymail.com. Kevin, they can also call us, correct? What's the number you got there?
Correct. The call number is 917-889-8516. On blogtalkradio.com that you mentioned also, Tom, there is a chat window. They can go on to our page and actually chat. I have that open, so if they don't want to call, they can send us questions using that as well.
Sure. Absolutely, we'll answer the question. So as the chat questions come up, certainly make sure that we get those answered. And as we grow, we're going to very, very soon, we're going to be, you know, the face of the balance is going to be changing every day. And we moved our time up to 8 o'clock on Monday nights, obviously for obvious reasons. That's Monday Night Football. And we're going to also be having a balanced fantasy football league. So if you want to get involved with that, make sure that you send us your request at tbalance at ymail.com and let us know, hey, put us down for Fantasy League, and we'll be posting some stuff on Facebook. And you can certainly find us on Facebook, The Balance, Twitter, tbalance. So we're everywhere, and we're going to certainly be going more and more as we air across the nation every Monday night, talking about sports, giving a full balance of sports, and we'll be able to keep our balance, unlike Mr. Gill, who the cops found in a ditch, apparently arrested for, I guess he was arrested, but now the Marion County prosecutor is not going to press any charges, so I guess it's okay to be drunk in a ditch as long as you're wearing an Indianapolis Colts uniform. But in all fairness, though, I will say that the league and the Indianapolis Colts have suspended Gill indefinitely, and we'd certainly like to hear your comments on that. But I think it's pretty cut and dry. I think this is a multiple offense for him. So even though the prosecutor isn't going to press any charges, I think that what we're going to see is he's going to feel it where it hurts most, and that's in the pocketbook. And I don't think we're going to see him on the field, and certainly not back at camp anytime soon. So, it is what it is. You drink and you fall in a ditch. Well, you don't get to play for the Colts. I guess that's where we're at on that, right?
Well, that is true. You know, that's one of the things I really like about the Indianapolis Colts. Very classy team, and they don't put up with a lot. You know, and
right.
This is multiple times. This is not his first time that he's been found in a ditch drunk. So I guess if you can't handle it, then don't do it.
That's right. Well, I can tell you one thing: who can handle things? That's them Indianapolis. I wish they were in Indianapolis. But those St. Louis Cardinals going against the Cincinnati Reds.
Well, you know, that is very true. And there is a famous philosopher one time that has some things to say, and I'm going to put them on here right now.
Ball! I don't know what could have come over me, sir. I meant to say strike.
Kevin, your ability to introduce sound bites are getting better and better every week. St. Louis 7, Cincinnati 0 over there at Great American Ballpark. And that my boys in red, they need this win as the Reds go into this game with a two-game win over them in the National League Central. But you can catch them on. They're playing right now on ESPN, Monday Night Baseball, Cardinals and the Reds. How's them Phillies hanging in there for you, Kevin?
Yeah, Philly is actually they had a little slump there for a little bit. They are now actually one game out of first place. So the Philadelphia Phillies are catching up to the Braves. And even with injuries, that's the thing. Right now, Philadelphia has a lot of injuries. We lost Howard. We've had a pretty rough season when it comes to injuries if you look at our team in general. It's going to be a good time now that we're catching up to them. Braves need to watch out. They are on a slump themselves, so right now is not the time of year to go on a slump. If you're going to slump, you need to do that like Philly did a while back, not now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always said, let's see how teams do after the All-Star break, because that's when things really start coming together after the All-Star break. That's when boys are boys and men are men and Cubs are Cubs and yet they continue to lose, don't they? Our adorable Cubs. Of course, we've got a lot of fans out there that are Cub fans, so we won't pick on them too much. But I do know that the Cubs struggle every year, but I think what we're going to see is we're going to see a new skipper there next year it hasn't been made official, but I think all signals point to Ryan Sandberg taking that position, and well deserved. He's what he's liked in Chicago, and he did very well in the minors. So I think that that this is a good opportunity for him to move up to the next level. Obviously, he's no stranger to the MLB field. So, be serious on curious on how that all that plays out for the Cubs next year. But for now, they're still our lovable losers, and they're right.
They are, you know, and I could anytime I think of the Cubs, I still cannot get out of my head that guy that reached over the wall that time and became probably the number one enemy of everybody that's ever lived in Chicago.
Oh my goodness!
Thought about living in Chicago.
I watched that game and I was just like, I cannot believe it. And I guess he was getting death threats and to this day, you know, they're not blaming things on the goat anymore. They're blaming the things on that guy. That's why the Cubs aren't getting anywhere. But let's not talk about the fact that they'd already had the game blown before that happened anyway. So
if that didn't lose the game for them, they were already on that path.
Yeah. But the other team over there in Chicago, over there in the Central, number one in the American League Central, and, of course, the White Sox always bring it. And, you know, the Cub fans hate the White Sox, and the White Sox hate the Cub fans. But right now, you know, over there in the National League Central, Chicago White Sox are pulling ahead. I mean, they got a 4.5 game lead over Minnesota, so I mean, a pretty steady lead there. And and over there in the American League, the team to watch though is the Yankees. There again, the boys in pinstripe in Tampa Bay tied at it. You know, well, I think the Tampa Bay is two games back, but
they are.
They're tied at it. And you know, we've talked about it here before. And those Rangers, they are just underneath the radar. And I really think that they've got some going edge to make it on through into the deep into the playoffs. And we could definitely see Texas making a strong appearance in the playoffs, and especially as the pennant race gets a little bit tighter.
And the pennant races are in the wild card. You know, you got your wild card standings that are constantly shaking up. There has been a lot of streaky teams within the last, well, like you said, since the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
So the wild card standings are changing constantly. I mean, right now you have in the American League, your division leaders are Yankees, Texas, and like you said, the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Tampa Bay got a 4-game lead on Boston right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Minnesota 4.5. The National League, though, is a little bit different. You've got San Diego, Atlanta, and Cincinnati. And as we talked, Cincinnati's up 2 on St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got the wild card of San Francisco is 0.5 game up on Philly and only 1 game up on St. Louis. So the National League right now, when it's looking at wild cards and it's even division races, is a lot tighter than the American League.
Oh yeah, and it is that way. And you know, this, I think this is an exciting time for the National League. Obviously, the National League Central has my attention quite a bit, and I spend a lot of time, you know, watching and following the National League Central, you know, with the Reds and the Cardinals and the Cubs. And you know, the National League Central always, you know, has a an opportunity to bring it. And I think that this year I really, as much as I love my Cardinals, I think the Reds have a good shot of being there at the end and, you know, battling it out with Atlanta or San Diego. But, you know, if I was to pick right now, and I'm just going to go out there on the limb and say the Padres and the Rangers will go at it and Padres will win the World Series. But that's just my educated guess, and you heard it first from me, because I am the Rush Limbaugh know-it-all of baseball. You know that, right?
No, I don't, because you left Philly out, so I'm going to have to disagree with that.
Well, you know, Philly,
from the National League, I might agree.
Yeah, well, they're two games back, so I guess that they are in the race.
Come on,
well, they're two games officially back, according to the official MLB standings. So, make sure you send us your comments on the pennant race at tbalance@ymail.com. Follow us on Facebook, The Balance, of course, blogtalkradio.com. And in the very near future, that will be launched in some other avenues, such as iTunes and that sort of stuff, as we air across the nation every Monday night. And they can we can certainly we'll be taking calls and or if you don't want to call, we've like Kevin said, we've got the chat room, the Balance chat room open up, so make sure that you log in and chat away with us. We're right here live and we'd love to hear from you as the season progresses on along, and make sure that you do let us know that you want to jump in on that fantasy football team. We're going to have that together. I hope that your fantasy football team does better than Kevin's fantasy baseball team. Actually, we're playing each other this week, aren't we?
Yes. I beat you last week, yes.
I have been struggling in the fantasy baseball league this year. And that certainly is a segment that we're going to be adding to the Balance, and we'll be doing a lot of talking about fantasy football, and we're going to be having our own mock draft, and we're going to be doing a lot of fun stuff with fantasy football. So make sure that you send us an email, tell us you want to be, and you can also shoot us a Facebook as well, and search The Balance. And they'll be able to see our beautiful mugs on there,
well, I don't know about beautiful mugs.
Can guys be beautiful? That's what I want to know.
Well, I'm claiming no on that one.
I don't know that I want to know the answer on that one. Hey, I'm in touch with my feminine side. But anyway, so
I'm looking at the local guys right now.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like, it says 7-3. There is no score. I wonder why. Oh, here it is. It popped up. Oh, this is ugly. The Indianapolis Indians are playing the Norfolk Tides, which I have a tie to. But the Tides are up 7-0.
Yeah, we had talked about going to that game, and it didn't pan out for us tonight. But we will be doing our show down there from Vickery Field. One night yet this season, so that'll be interesting. But the Indianapolis Indians, I'm curious to see how they're going to play out over there in the International League. What'd you say the score was, Kevin?
7-0. And they are
who's
losing
the lead?
7-0.
Who's
Norfolk
losing?
Tide. The Indianapolis Indians are losing right now to the Norfolk Tides. And they say this is the first of a four-game series.
Uh-huh, right. Mm-hmm. And I know go ahead, Kevin.
So hopefully things will change between now and the next three games. Because I'm trying to find right now where they are standing as far as back. When we went before, I believe they were several games out of contention. I'm pulling that up right now, though.
On the standings? I think that we both have the thing about the minor league side, it doesn't quite move as fast as the MLB side. I don't know if it's just the I don't know, maybe it's just because they're a minor league team. But looking around over there across the minor league, you've got Louisville Bats doing battle against the Toledo Mud Hens. Right now, and Toledo leads that 3-1 over there in Norfolk. Indianapolis against the Norfolk Tides, 7-0. Whew. Boy, glad we didn't go to that game.
Yeah,
of course,
it was disappointing.
And Buffalo and Lehigh Valley is looks like they're tied up.
Mine doesn't refresh that quick either, but it looks like the Indianapolis
Good, Indians, I'm glad it's not just on my side there.
No, it's not on just your side. Indianapolis Indians are 9 games back. So unless something happens here, they does not look like the Indianapolis Indians are going to make the playoffs.
Right, which is disappointing in the aspect of the Indians play a lot of good baseball, and they have a lot of good players, and we're fortunate to have them, and the Pirates certainly have probably one of the better AAA teams around. And but the problem with the Pirates is they move them up and then they trade them.
Yeah.
But the Pirates can never put anything together. But you know, we do give a full balance of sports here, and you know, there's just the one sport that Kevin, you are the absolute expert on, being the redneck from Philly, and that is, well, we'll just say it, NASCAR, right?
Yes, it is.
Reach up there and pull those belts tight one more time.
I just want to get this thing started. I know it's going to be so much fun to watch and do. And here they come.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
Let's go racing, Kevin. Right. Kevin, what happened around the NASCAR circuit yesterday? And of course, the one race that I really wanted to spend a lot of time talking about, which we can do, was Pocono, but we missed that episode that happened over there with Pocono. So, but what happened over there in the world of NASCAR yesterday, Kevin?
Well, it looks like a lot of it happened here. Montoya Pablo, I can never say his name right. Why can't he be like a Kevin or something? It'd be so much easier.
Why can't he just stay in IndyCar, right?
Exactly. He's been having a pretty good car this year, but just could not figure out a way to win. But, you know, his experience over in IndyCar paid off on the road race. One of the things that really surprised me was, and I was looking at some numbers today as far as television viewing, and, you know, in Indianapolis, we're supposed to be the home of open-wheel racing, and that's supposed to be Indianapolis' bread and butter with having the Indianapolis 500. However, the television viewing for the Indianapolis 500 compared to the NASCAR race this past Sunday, NASCAR race beat out the Indy 500 quite considerably. So, you know, with as things are changing, it looks like the IRL is starting to lose some of its punch, and NASCAR, I won't say is picking up. Economy-wise, I don't think they're and we talked about the Brickyard 400 being low in sales. So I don't think they're picking up anywhere, but I do believe that NASCAR is at least holding steady right now.
And
there's been some good stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, who's had some good stuff over there in the truck series. And, you know, we had the opportunity, you and I, to go to the truck race here in town. But, boy, Todd Bodine, he has just really firmed up his hold over there in the Camping World Truck Series point standings with a pretty dominant victory in Nashville at the Nashville Super Speedway on Saturday night. And, you know, I think he might end up taking that race. And taking that championship this year, the truck series, what do you think?
Well, I mean, he had a strong truck. I mean, the last 89 laps, I find myself rounding up, the last 89 laps, he led. So there really wasn't that much of a challenge. He's 174 points right now up against Arik Almirola. Unless something happens, you know, right now in the truck series, the championship is Todd Bodine's to lose. Mm-hmm. It's not close enough for somebody else to win. The reality of it is it's his to lose. He continues to drive smart, and you're right. Todd Bodine will win the championship.
I think we pretty much everybody will agree with us on that. We certainly want to hear your comments on the Truck Series, the Nationwide Series, and the Sprint Cup Series at tbalance@ymail.com, and you can also follow us on Twitter at tbalance or on Facebook, The Balancer, and, you know, jump online with us right now and talk live. And we'd love to talk NASCAR with you, and we had the Nationwide race going on, and then we've got the Sprint Cup race going on. And a lot going on there in the Sprint Cup race. Like I said, one of the things that we missed out on talking about on our last show, and we can talk a little bit about now, and that's the race at Pocono. I mean, I really think that I'm going to be one of those guys. I'm going to be that guy that says Pocono needs to go. You're like, I'm full of rhymes today, buddy. I am full
you
of
are.
Rhymes.
You are blowing my mind. I mean, you scared me.
I tell you what, man. I tell you.
Yeah, I agree. Now, Pocono did do some work on the track to try to get it better. And one of the things that sticks out to me about that race is that wreck that Elliott Sadler had. I don't remember seeing a wreck in a long time where the engine was nowhere near the car.
Oh, I tell you
it
what,
wasn't a
that
piece.
Was
the entire engine was gone.
Mm-hmm. That was the worst wreck I think I've seen in a long, long time. And you know, the fact that he was able to get up and, well, he did kind of lay down on the track a little bit there, but the fact that he was able to get up and pretty much just walk out of the track emergency care center was in itself amazing and tells you what kind of lengths and strides that NASCAR has taken over the years, especially since Dale Sr. lost his life up there at Daytona, and there's been a lot of accidents that's happened since then. And so, you know, I think that they've taken great strides, but at the same time, you've got to have a track that where it's safe for drivers to drive. And if it's not safe for them to drive, Kevin, then they don't need to be driving there. And I think Pocono is one of those tracks.
And there's a big possibility of that. I mean, they're looking at adding a race in Kentucky next year. They're looking at moving the Chicago race, which is coming up this week, to another spot during the schedule. They're looking at really revamping where they're doing the races, one for driver safety, but as well as market, where they can get more of a draw. You know, and we mentioned Elliott Sadler the week before, but he actually raced this weekend too. So, you got to give him credit in NASCAR with the safety. But the crazy part is when you watch the wrecks like that. I was watching the race when Dale Earnhardt Sr. lost his life, and that wreck looked absolutely like a nothing compared to what Elliott Sadler went mm-hmm. through. So it just shows you that, you know, they could do as much safety as they want in the cars, the Hans device. Now, Dale Earnhardt Sr. refused to wear a Hans device, you know, which a lot of people will debate on. If he had one on, would he still be alive? But you know, they've really done it. But the fact is, any racing like this, you're going 190, 200 miles an hour, and they can only do so much for safety, and things are going to happen. So Elliott Sadler is very lucky that he had the conditioning he has to be able to walk away like he did.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, certainly nothing to take away from NASCAR. Just my thing is, it's just that when you've got a track like Pocono that's been warned and drivers complain about it on a daily basis, and when it takes pretty much all the questions as far as in the driver meetings and from the media, is the safety of the drivers at the track, then it's something that the actual track needs to look at. And when they lose, there again, going back to talking about losing it in the hip pocket there, when they start losing money because their fans don't come because and the races have moved to a different location, that's when they start saying, huh, okay, well, maybe we need to do something here, and maybe we do need to make some changes, because, you know, Poconos has been around for a long time, and it's certainly one of the It's a track with a lot of history, like Daytona and like Indianapolis. But at the same time, I'd say the same thing if it was IMS or Daytona. If they couldn't get their act together and keep it safe for the drivers, then they don't need to have a race there.
And I agree with that 100%. And you know, like I said, there'll be some changes for next year. You know, some of the other news that happened. They had Jeff Gordon on Sunday had a standby driver. Mm-hmm. on spot, so if his wife went into labor, he would fly out and there'd be somebody else driving his car. She actually did have a baby, so he can now focus again back on racing. You know, Casey Kane is leaving his current sponsor, coming over to Hendrick Motorsports, and there's a big argument over whether Mark Martin is going to drive next year, whether he's or Casey Kane is going to drive the number 5 car. The way it's looking is owner Rick Hendrick is going to be lining up Casey Kane with Red Bull, one of his cars. So it looks as of right now that.
Well, I hope Red Bull does a better job for. Did you say Casey Kane was going to pick up on Red Bull?
Correct. That's what the Rick Hendrick is trying to do right now.
Well, they didn't have very good wings yesterday, did they?
No, they did not. you know, but Brian Vickers has been out with blood clots, so since May, and they're not sure if he'll be able to return next year behind the 83. So yeah, that's a possibility. Rick Hendricks is part of a lot of race teams. He has his four primary drivers. Everybody knows Gordon, Johnson, Earnhardt, and Martin. But the Hendricks Motorsports also, they could throw somebody like Casey Kane over with Stuart Haas Racing because Hendricks Motorsports provides the engine. So he will, Casey Kane will be with Hendricks Motorsports next year, whether it's with direct teammates of Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson. That and the Dale Earnhardt Jr., that's only time will tell. So for all the female fans out there, you don't have to worry. Casey Kane will be driving. And he's one of the pretty boys. So I don't know if you remember the commercials with him or not, but it was quite funny actually watching them. Because in real life, you talk to a lot of people, and a lot of the females like Casey Kane, and you ask him why, and it's all he can tell you is he's cute.
Well, you know, our women fans out there, they pick because of the uniform and how cute the driver is and,
yes,
and
they
so
do.
Forth. You know, so and talking a little bit about the nationwide race, we touched a little bit about that on there, but, oh, Marcos, he is just, opening up a can and taking names there. Wins his third consecutive win out there at Watkins Glen in the nationwide race, and I think that he's a driver that's really coming into his own and dominates, you know, and leading the final part of the nationwide series. And I think he proved his ability to drive at Watkins Glen on Saturday there.
Well, again, Marcus Ambrose, just like Montoya got himself wet with the open wheel racing, so he has a lot of experience on that type of track. And it was good to see. You know, they're called what they call ringers. You know, they bring in Boris Said and a couple other people, you know, that are strict road racers to drive for these teams. And again, like you said, Marcus Ambrose decided that he'd come back, and for the third year in a row, he wiped everybody out. He led the last 60 of the last 82 laps. So, you know, it, just like with the truck race, this race as well was pretty much an easy victory. Montoya did have to hold off, you know, Kurt Busch and Amarillo. So sprint was a little tighter, but nationwide and truck series this week was I won't say easy wins because I don't believe there is an easy win when it comes to that, but it was definitely a lot easier for them than what it was for Montoya.
Right, and I tell you what, we are looking at switching over here to another race here, and we're talking about Red Bull, and we've got the Red Bull Moto GP here in Indianapolis, where the law of physics is absolutely defied. If you've never seen the MotoGP race out there in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, it is a sight to see. These guys go around the curves. They're going 200 and some odd miles an hour, where they're basically, you know, so close to they actually literally, in some cases, touch the ground, and it is an unbelievable sight to see. If you've not had a chance to go out there and check that out, that's a great opportunity to do it, and it's not that expensive to go out there and spend the weekend and watch a lot of really fast motorcycle races. I think race day tickets out there are only $40, and the good thing about it is, Kevin, if you've never been to Indianapolis during a race weekend, it's really a sight. But the thing is, downtown Indianapolis, they just totally block off the streets, and if you've got a motorcycle, and there's just thousands of motorcycles that come into town, and it is really a sight to see. So looking forward to it. It's going to take place here in about 19 days, 18 hours and 21 minutes, Kevin. You can
yeah.
You can count me out on that.
Exactly. And I look forward to that. I, as you know, well, unfortunately, I totaled my motorcycle. So I don't want to have one at the present time, but I love.
Was it one of those Honda mopeds?
No,
that
no,
the work
they,
release riders drive.
Suzuki Boulevard. I was good. I was only going 65. I wasn't going near these guys. But you're right. It is amazing. You got guys on a motorcycle going, you know, 100, 200 miles an hour, and when they go in the turns, you know, they have to have steel elbow pads, steel knee pads. They have steel going to protect their spine, and it just blows my mind that they get that close to the ground and do it on a daily basis when they race. I as much as I like to ride, I don't know if I would have the guts to do that.
Oh my goodness! I tell you what, I love bikes, and I have often said that I want to buy one again. But those things, and I used to have one of those crotch riders there. But I tell you what, these MotoGP races bikes are just unbelievable. And you know, you can certainly check that out. You know, just Google Red Bull Indianapolis GTU. Motor race, and you get you all the information that you want there. Again, make sure that you send us your comments at tbalance@ymail.com or Facebook or right here on the chat room. And Kevin would be glad to screen your chats, right, Kevin?
That is right. I have that open right now. We do not have anybody logged in right now, so it's definitely open, wide open to ask any question you have. And, you know, Tom, there's a lot of talk shows out there. As both you and I listen to, you know, talk all the time on your AM stations, and there's a lot of local guys that started out like we did. But you know, the thing is this, a lot of those shows are very biased one way. And our goal here is to make sure that we talk about what is going on in the world of sports, and there is a lot, and we are definitely not the experts in everything out there. So you know,
sure we are.
We need to hear that. Well, you know,
we are the experts.
That is true.
You know, and you know what makes us the expert, because we're the only truly fan driven talk show out there. And we are fans. We're not paid a high salary or any salary for that right now. But hey, we're two guys that like to talk sports, and you know, we like to hear your input on it and so forth.
Well, you know, Tom, the one sport that I have been trying to master, and I'll say this, I think it's mastered me, but I am far from mastering it, is golf. And this weekend, Tiger has slumped, but I have never seen Tiger slump like he did to be at plus 18.
Well, I think it's the facial hair he's trying
to. That amazes me. It could be. Whatever it is, needs to change. Now, his words are, I can be better by the time the Ryder Cup comes around. He's ranked 10th right now in the Ryder Cup point standings. I don't think he's going to make it to the Ryder Cup to show that he could turn it around. Next year, I think we might have a glimpse of the old Tiger. He's still one of the greatest golfers, if not the greatest golfer ever. But it goes to show you that, you know, it doesn't matter how great you are in the sport you're in, that you have to have your mind there 100% of the time.
And golf is a game of concentration, and I love golf, and I play it as much as I absolutely can. And just like anybody else, you know, in the last couple of years, I haven't really got an opportunity to play as much as I would like to. But golf is extremely a game of concentration. And for Tiger to have been through what he's been through, right or wrong, you know, really, you know, here's the way I look at it, is the two separate worlds should separate themselves. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of people out there, both in Hollywood sports and politics, church, what have you, in places of leadership and role modeling that aren't necessarily faithful to their spouse. So, you know, I don't know that Tiger did anything different than what a lot of other people did. The thing is, he's just in the spotlight, and he had the good boy next door look, and he was the
the poster child for the role model, and I just think that that's what really we've talked about it on this show many times, and that's the role model spot that these athletes put themselves in, whether they like it or not. That's the role that they've put themselves in, and they have to behave accordingly. And so when things like this happen, it would throw the average guy off their concentration and off their game. So when you got a guy like Tiger Woods, I mean, yeah, he's going to have situations to where, like he's doing right now, and you know he's struggling. He's struggling big time right now, and I think he'll come out of it. I wouldn't be so worried about him shooting 18 over on a consistent basis. I think he'll come out of it, and I think we'll still see him there at the end. But I think he does need some time to continue to get himself back together.
And I agree. And like we've always said on the show, I'm not here to judge any of them. However, you know, whether you want to or not, when you step up into that type of position, you take on certain responsibilities. And I understand that they don't ask for it, but at the same token, you know what you're getting into when you become a professional athlete like that. And if you don't want that responsibility, then you need to look at whether you really want to be a professional athlete or not. Mm-hmm. It comes with it, whether you want it or not. That's the reality of it. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on right now, and you got to look at also, these boys are making what, you know, millions of dollars a year to play, and with the economy the way it is and everything, and you're making that, I would say now more than ever you're going to be held to a higher standard because of how many people are struggling. If you're making that much, they expect you to be a little bit better of a person.
Oh, I absolutely will. And speaking of better persons real quick here, Jimmy Johnson, I don't know if you heard this or not, he is actually going to be a contestant on Survivor. That's right, the former NFL coach, Jimmy Johnson, to be a contestant on the reality series Survivor this season. So, yeah, CBS made that announcement that 67-year-old Johnson will be one of 20 castaways sent to Nicaragua. And so we'll be able to check that out in September there.
Well, you know, that's got to definitely be better than seeing somebody like Emmitt Smith dance and stuff like that. So, but it's interesting.
Or Ocho dance.
Oh, yeah, Ocho. He actually, he didn't do too bad. And Emmett didn't do too bad either. But it's funny when I look at stuff like that. You know, Ocho has his own talk show.
He's got another reality series, too. You know, I've got my little calendar here to see how many times I can say Ocho and T.O. in this show, so.
There you go.
It's counting at the end of the thing. Remember the episode of South Park, and I won't say the word, but where they tried to count how many times that the SH word was said?
Yes.
Because we don't want to say that word, but it was said many, many times. So we're gonna put one of those little counters throughout the season, and we're just going to see how many times we can say Ocho and T.O. in the same show.
Well, I will say that coming from me, it won't be that high of a count. I'm not a fan of either one of them. Anybody carries a Sharpie in their sock when they're playing football, I just have issues with. You know, so it's definitely a little bit interesting there. So, but you know what? We're going to take a few second break here, get a couple of our thoughts together, and be right back with you. one of the things we did not get to talk about was college football.
Mm-hmm.
And, this year you've got, well, they got the rankings out, but the question is, out of those rankings, who is actually not going to be penalized or suspended by the NCAA by the time all these investigation gets out? I don't think there's a football team out there right now, practically, that doesn't have somebody that's being investigated.
Well, there's a lot of teams out there, and then plus on top of that, we've got the shake and bakes between the Big Ten, the Pac-10, and everybody moving around, and Oregon, are they going to win the Pac-10 championship, or are they even in the Pac-10 anymore? So yeah, you're right. There's a lot of investigations going on right now, and it's really a sad thing, because here's the thing: there's some great athletes, as we all know. Every year when we watch the NFL draft, when they show the highlights, and of course, I'm a big college football junkie, and I love college football. I'm a big IU fan and big Ten fan, but I watch college football constantly, and I know a lot. I try to really make myself appraised on the college football situation. And here's the thing is, you've got a lot of good players, and I just don't think there needs to be so much need for greed and deception and the things that go on in college football. It's really, at the end of the day, it all goes back to what I've said a million times. Basketball has it right. And when it comes to the playoffs, and that's what it's about. It's all about the bowl game and the money that the bowl games bring, as far as to the television monies and the fan monies and so forth.
And I agree. And there's a lot of debate on, do colleges open themselves up for issues with allowing all the agents and recruiters on campuses? But I believe in self-policing. The college has a responsibility to protect the athletes from certain things, mm-hmm. but it also boils down to that athlete himself. Every athlete knows you cannot take money, you cannot take vehicles, you can't take anything from an alumni or anybody while you are a college football player. And it really disappoints me. And what even disappoints me even more is some of the coaches know what's going on and still play these players. Joe Pa up in Penn State just benched one of our really good wide receivers because he got caught with marijuana, and he's not playing this year for Penn State. So, there are still a few out there that have those standards, but a lot of schools now put so much pressure on the coaches to win that the coaches do some really stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
And
they
allow
do.
These people on campus.
Oh, absolutely. Well, one of the good positive things that's coming out of football is the 2011 Big Ten title championship game held right here in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium, and that's going to be a really top-notch event. I mean, Indianapolis knows how to host Big Ten events, NCAA events, and this is just going to be one for the books as well. And I'm really excited to see Lucas Oil to host the 2011 Big Ten title game. And of course, Indianapolis has got a lot of big games coming up here in the very near future, not to mention the Super Bowl coming up here. So that's another big game that's coming up. But, if you were follow our Facebook page, that was posted earlier on this week that Indianapolis would host the 2011 Big Ten NCAA football championship. So, the Big Ten Conference announced that Thursday that Lucas Oil here in Indianapolis would host it. So it's an exciting time, Kevin, and you and I are going to have to be down there and take in the environment and try to do a show from down there.
I look forward to being down there for that Big Ten championship. It puts a lot of pressure on our local boys, put some pressure on Purdue, mm-hmm. Indiana, to host for us to be hosting the Big Ten championship, and we have two teams right here in the Big Ten. It does put a lot of pressure on them.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be kind of neat to see a Cinderella story, I guess, for lack of better terms, for one of those boys to make it, just like Butler made the Final Four when he was here in Indianapolis.
A lot of fun.
Indianapolis has got a lot of things come up. We got the Super Bowl. We've got the World Cup. We've got the Big Ten Championship. If you like sports and you like seeing some of the big games, Indianapolis has really developed themselves over the last few years with building the hotels and everything else to get stuff like this here.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing about coming to Indianapolis. You can come to Indianapolis and have a good weekend and not spend your life savings and get a second mortgage on the home like you might if you had to fly out to California or something like that. So, and I know we've just got a few more minutes left on the clock here, but just want to make sure that you send us your information, tbalance@ymail.com. Follow us on Facebook, The Balance, Twitter, tbalance. My name's Tom, and right alongside me is my is Kevin and my partner in crime, the redneck from Philly, Kevin. And by the way, Kevin, St. Louis is still up 7-0 in top of the seventh against the Reds.
They are. I am watching that on ESPN as we are doing the show. And it does. It looks like it's going to be a one-game lead after tonight. So this is definitely a very good race. You know, Tampa Bay, they're showing on the screen, is two down. That's looking like a good. Right now, this is the fun time of baseball for me. This is where the two championship teams come out right now. A lot of teams can do good at the beginning of the year, but when you're starting down the stretch at the end of the year, you've had a lot of games. This is when the boys come out and play, and this is who you see has got the championship caliber behind them or not.
That's right. Well, and I know, like I said, we just got a few ticks left on the clock, and certainly want to make sure that you guys know to join us every Monday night. We shouldn't miss a beat from here on out. And Monday night's great because we got Monday Night Football to talk about. We're going to be doing a lot of football coming up. So, you know, you want to make sure that you catch us every Monday night. And throughout the week, we'll have our program called The Off Balance, and I think we've about got the kinks worked out on that one. And we're also going to be, I'm really excited, Kevin, and we're working out a lot of really good interviews and stuff in the process. So a really exciting time to jump on board and be one of our early fans. And I do want to point this out. We do have some room for sponsorships available as we spread across the nation. So make sure that you shoot us an email, and we'll give you a deal you can't refuse.
That is right. And we definitely, again, we want your comments. We want your questions. We want to know what you want to talk about. This is not just our show. We're two guys that love sports and just want to talk. So until next week, have a good night.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, a gun. You thought I was gonna say a son of a bitch, didn't you? That's all, folks.
What's up, brother?